things that hinder us from moving on. We understand that, as mentioned in the prayer earlier, that life has a way of throwing some obstacles in our path, both good and bad. Sometimes blessings that God bestows upon us may end up becoming a distraction down the road sometimes as we lean on those good things a little more than we should. We understand that death and sadness and mourning is also an obstacle that may come about in our lives that will cause us to stand still for whether it's for grief or for mourning or even just the mere fact of not knowing which way to go. And as we assemble here tonight, we assemble under the theme and the encouragement that we not allow the things that have happened to us in the past keep us from moving forward. You see, it is within God's word, and as we look from beginning to the beginning of the Bible to the end, we see that God expects his people to always to be progressing. Amen. He expects his people to be fruitful and to multiply. Not just multiply physically, but multiply in our understanding of knowing who God is, what God can do, and what he has done for us. And in order for us to be able to look to the future and expect great things, we have to understand and know the God that we serve. As we come to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the word of God, it tells us, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And as Paul begins to give us this message here in the beginning of chapter 12. If you don't mind, we'll do a brief synopsis of chapter 11 and 12. But basically, in keeping with the theme of tonight of moving on, things that hinder us from moving on, as we look at chapter 11, we are witness to some characters of faith. And Paul, as he discusses with these people of God here, these Jewish converts who are considering going back to Judaism and going back to their old manners of lifestyle under the law, Paul, he tries to give encouragement in showing that those that served God in before times and even presently during his times, they endured some difficulty. You see, sometimes in this Christian walk, when we come to the Lord and even after serving some years, we expect that the trail and that the journey from earth to heaven is going to be an easy stride. But you see, Paul, he stopped by and talked with our brothers and sisters of past, and he wanted them to understand that the likes of Abraham and Moses, they went through some situations in their journey with God. And then as he concludes in the latter verses of chapter 11, he gave the understanding that even those that were converted to Christianity during those times suffered death and martyrdom. But he says, in spite of the difficulties and what folks are going through, he says, you still have to keep on going. You see, as we come to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we are given this picture of some things that keeps us hindered or keeps us from moving on as God would have us to. You see, Paul, he asserts that there are primarily two categories that hold us back from proceeding to the heights that God would have us to reach. And he classifies these two categories as weights and sin. And as we consider this word weight, he says, let us lay aside every weight. When we picture the mindset of weights, as Paul is talking about, he's talking about hindrances or burdens. He's talking about an impedance or an cumbersome weight. And it gives you the picture as you look at the definition in the Greek, and we won't go into the word of that is meant, but it gives us a picture of something suspended, of a scale. As we know in olden times, they would have a hanging scale, and whatever they would weigh would hang at that weight. If we go in the grocery store, it'll give us a better picture when you weigh your bananas. I don't know if they still do that now, but back in the day, and I'm not way back in the day, but in my coming up, when I would go to the grocery store with my mother or my grandparents, and you would weigh your bananas or your apples, they had a little scale, amen, and it had a plate similar to it, and you would drop your produce in there, and it would tell you how much it weighed. And see, Paul, he gives the picture or the meaning of the word weight. It gives that understanding that weight is bearing down to reveal its pressure that it exerts. But Paul here, he's talking about when he says lay aside every weight, he's talking about hindrances, those things that obstruct our progress in the Christian way. He's talking about anything that weighs down our hearts and our minds from the alertness and the attention to God in our Christian walk. Anything that slows or handicaps us from being all that we could be in this Christian race. You see, weights are not always or not necessarily always attributed to sinful things. Weights can be the pursuit of career or finances or a luxury. And when those things begin to overtake our Christianity, then it begins to weigh down our progress from earth to glory. You see, weights, it can also mean, it can symbolize the over-reliance on material possessions or even a reliance on blessings that God has bestowed upon us. If we remember Israel as they possessed the promised land over time, as they conquered each and every city and they began to prosper, we remember what happened to them, amen? They were blessed and they got to that mindset that we have arrived, amen? And sometimes when we get that, we get the blessings of God and we figure that, Lord, this is what I asked for, I've arrived, I can quit, amen? Then those things become weights. You see, even the good things that God gives us with, if we're not careful with it, and if we don't have that balance, it can become a weight in our lives. And you see, Paul, that's the things that he is talking about in this subject. Brother Branch, he gave me 30 minutes on it, and I could list numbers of things that we use as excuses to keep us from going forward. But tonight, I'm going to just share with you three, and then I'm going to sit down. Some things that fall under the categories of weights that keeps us from progressing as we should. One comes to mind is unfinished chapters in our books. I heard it said that if you endeavor to write a book, the only way to get finished with that book is one chapter at a time, right? You can't write half of one chapter, half of another chapter, and then get to the concluding chapter. But successful authors, successful book writers, they write and complete a chapter at a time. And it's the same way in our Christian walks. If we endeavor to get past our past and move forward, we have to take care of business. Amen. I believe the word of God in Romans 12 and 11, it encourages us not to be slothful in business, right? It says for us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, when it comes to taking care of our business, God expects for us to take care of business when it comes to our relationships in the body, amen? When it comes to correcting and forgiving our brothers and sisters, oftentimes these things that affect unity within the body is keeping us from moving forward. You see, Matthew 5 and 24, it gives us the understanding that we have to take care of business with one another before we can take care of business with God. Matthew 5 and 24 says, leave therefore thy gift before the altar and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. You see, too many times, again, and I'm not going to stay here because I know it's not a popular subject and I know that it's not an easy subject. But when it comes to taking care of business with one another in relationship to our unity and our fellowship, the word of God says that we need to take care of business. If our brother did us wrong, it says for us to go to our brother and let him know you did me wrong. Amen. And then if he don't hear you, then it has a process to do. But too many times we want to move on without letting it be known, brother, you did me wrong. Amen. You see, sometimes the thing that we do, amen, is we say within ourselves, I forgive my brother. And then when your brother comes up to you after some time and hugs you and you haven't had that conversation, your mind is like, what's he doing? He know he ain't got right with me. Amen. And that's how disunity continues going on, because we try to move on without taking care of business first. You see, those are some things that keeps us from moving on and getting past our past by trying to sweep it under the rug and stepping over the lump and stepping on the lump, but yet we know that there's a lump right there. You see, the word of God says in order for God to receive what it is that we have to offer, we have to get it right with one another. I'm going to move on from there. And then one of the other things that may fit in the category of weights or burdens or trials that keeps us from moving on is that we fail to see God's enablement for ourselves. We fail to have a vision, or we fail to trust that God can do what he said he can do. I'm reminded of Numbers 13, verses 26 and 27, as Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies went out to check out the promised land. Amen. Y'all remember that? In Numbers 13, 26 and 27, just in paraphrase, Joshua and Caleb, they had a report saying the fruit and the grapes of that land, they are large clusters, it's plentiful, and it says that the land was flowing with milk and honey. And then verse 30 of chapter 13 in Numbers, Caleb, he says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You see, oftentimes we are stuck in our same seats and stuck in our same lanes and aisles of life because we fail to see the potential and the provisions that God has provided for us to be victorious. It's not always about the numbers, amen? It's not always about the monetary possessions, but it starts with the mindset that if we got God, and if God can take two fish and five loaves and multiply that, don't you think that God can take three people and $50 and create a nation if it so be that? You see, oftentimes we are stuck in our seats and stuck in our past because we don't see the numbers before us. You see, but God, he has placed within each and every one of us as his body of believers, he's given us potential. He's given us abilities. I'm reminded of the parable of the talents, where the master, he divided according to each servant, according to his several ability. You see, that lets us know that God knows what he's doing when he gives us what we got, amen? And he expects us to make use of it, because he wouldn't have gave it to us if he didn't think that we could turn it over and make it prosperous, amen? Then the last with under the weights category that often keeps us hindered and keeps us stagnated is too many times we try to supplement our lives with God versus placing God first in our lives. I'm reminded of Matthew 6 and 33, where it tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the previous verses, Jesus, he had a discussion with the disciples, and again, I could picture as he's preparing them for ministry and preparing them for the work that lies before them, he says, take no thought of what you shall wear, amen? He says, take no thought of what you shall eat. And then he goes on, take no thought of how you shall care for yourselves. And basically, Jesus, he hits the three things that are primary concerns of us as men, as fathers, as husbands, as providers of the home, right? How am I going to take care of my family, amen? How am I going to feed my family, amen? And how am I going to clothe my family? And Jesus, he says to his disciple, he said, if you about God's business first and seeking to fulfill the will of God, he says, God will bless you with those things that you need. And so too many times we are stuck in the rut that we're in because we're too busy trying to chase a dollar and we're giving less time to God. You see, I was watching something that pertained to this. As an individual, he was given a demonstration, and he had a mason jar, and he had a decent-sized stone, and the jar was filled with marbles, and he was at an elementary school or something like that, and he asked the kids, he says, kids, can you fit this stone in this jar? And then the kids, they tried all they could do, and they couldn't get the stone to fit in the jar. And so then the man, he says, watch what I can do. He says, I can fit this stone and all of these marbles in this jar. And so he took all the marbles out of the jar, and he placed a stone which took up three-quarters of the jar, basically the majority of the jar. And then he took the marbles, and they fell in right around every space of the stone. And you see, that should be the resemblance of our lives. Too many times we're trying to fill our lives with our jobs and our families and our possessions versus filling our lives first with God and allowing the things, the other things, to fall into place. And you see, that's the weights that Paul is talking about. He's trying to get these Christians, these Judeo-Christian converts and even us today to see that we can't allow those things in our lives that are not necessarily sin to become hindrances in this race. And then Paul, he says the second category of things that keeps us from moving on is the sin that so easily besets us, according to the King James Version. You see, that word sin is talking about a literal transgression or of the law, or a transgression of the commandments of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it gives us understanding that we can't expect to inherit the kingdom of heaven if we're living a sinful life. Too many times the world around us, they try to sell this picture to us, even though we know better, and they try to sell this picture to our children that you can live how you want to live and still go to heaven. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so Paul, he gives encouragement to us today to not participate in those things that we know are sinful. And then it's easy enough to know the things that may hinder us, but how do we deal with those things? You see, Paul, he was sufficient enough in his argument with these early believers and us today to not only mark out our problems, but he gave us some encouragement on how to deal with them. You see, first of all, within Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And so Paul, he first points out that the difficulties that we face today and back then is nothing new. He lets us know that again, in God's infinite wisdom, and oftentimes we overlook the resources that God gives us in the tangible things. We know that we have prayer. We know that we have reliance on God's word, but God in his ultimate wisdom, he gives us fellowship. You see, that's the purpose of fellowship, is not just to eat chicken and to drink red Kool-Aid and to have sing-outs, but the purpose of fellowship is when I'm going through some difficult times and you've been through some difficult times, you're able to come to me by your example or in person and say, Brother Monroe, you can make it. I've been through that same thing just like you have. And you see, Paul, he points out, he says in chapter 11, all of those folk that he mentioned, he said, they've been through it just like you're going through it now. And he said, they may not have all been victorious by our standpoint, but their commitment to God, it stayed, amen. He said, some of them, they were put to the butcher block, amen. He said, some of them were used as candlesticks. Some of them were oppressed and abused, and some of them did not see the promise that God blessed them right off, but they were assured within their hearts and minds that they wasn't going to give up serving God. You see, and Paul, so he encourages us today, he says, God has placed some tangible things before us to give some encouragement. I know we get used to the old saying that I can't always trust my brother and sister, and we understand that, amen, because we are not perfect, amen. But God, he has intended that when we go through some things, we should have some love for one another, that if I see you struggling with something I struggle with, that I ought to love you enough to give you some encouragement and say, I made it, brother. It wasn't easy. I didn't come out this thing shining and beautiful, but I made it. You see, so Paul, he says, we have had a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before you to set a pattern, to set an example that they were consistent. They were committed, they were convicted to serve God. And he says, don't you dare quit, amen. He says, don't you start looking back to the old law, which is burdensome. Don't you start looking back to what you used to do, because what you used to do is all about sin and damnation. But he says, keep on moving forward. He says, God has set some examples before you. He set some strong examples before you that you're able to look to, that you can feel, that you can see with your own eyes, and that you can witness. See, God in his infinite wisdom, he doesn't just always say, trust me only, but sometimes he gives us some things to see that we can trust him a little more. Can we see God's goodness and his true blessings? And then Paul, he goes on within the text to say, he says, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. You see, it gives the picture of an Olympic race. I mean, it gives the picture of an athletic competition that the Greeks used to partake of, and it gives the semblance of our Olympiads today. But when Paul, he talks about to lay aside the weight, that picture of weight, it went along with the garments that you wear, because those runners, just like if we look at marathons today, marathon runners, they don't run in ski boots and snowsuits, amen? They got on some wind shorts and a tank top, as little clothing as possible to still be somewhat respectable, amen? That might not be the right word, but they're not out there running naked. But they are running with the least amount of resistance upon their bodies so that they can be victorious. You see, when Paul, he says to lay aside the weight, it gives us the picture also of these athletes as they trained. It's talking about getting in top shape before the competition. You see, too many times as Christians, we embark on this race, amen, and we stop training. Huh? We start sitting down and getting complacent, and then the poundage starts adding on. Well, I'm not talking about me eating. But we're talking about that comfort and that lack of desire to better ourselves in the Word of God. You see, that picture of weight is not only casting off the clothing, but it also gives the picture of these athletes in training getting down to the proper shape and the proper size that they can compete to their top level. You see, too many times when it comes to competition, we satisfied with just making it, amen? But when it comes to this picture, we see here that these individuals are prepared not only to run, but they're striving to win. They're striving to be victorious. And so Paul, he says, lay aside those things that cumber you. Lay aside those things that weigh you down, and lay aside the sin. And you say, well, how do you lay aside it? Do you just wake up one day and you say, I'm done? Do you go cold turkey? Colossians 3, 1 on down to verse 5, again it gives us some of the things that we need to do in preparing ourselves to lay aside those weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. Colossians 3, basically it tells us, as we get there, it says, set our affections on those things above. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It says, set your mind on things above, not the things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then Christ who is our life, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And so it starts with the rigorous training that we talked about. It talks about, or it gives us the understanding and putting aside those weights in the sin. It starts with us showing up regularly to Bible study, amen? It's talking about showing up regular. That's that training and getting us in top condition. It talks about assembling not every now and then or when we feel like it, amen. It's not talking about studying the Word of God when we get the whim or when we get in trouble. But it gives us the understanding that if we set our hearts and minds on the things of God, then that helps us to overcome our fleshy nature. You see, that's the only way we're going to be able to lay aside some things. Too many times we try to lay aside some things within our own power and rights. Amen? Amen. But some of us, when some temptations come about, if our minds are not set on God, we're going to fall to the lust and temptation of this world. And so Paul, he says, in order for us to be able to move forward, to strive past the weights and the sin that lingers around and tries to trap us, we have to set our minds on Christ above. And then as we continue on, as I try to get to a close, Paul, he says for us to look at our examples. Then he encourages us to prepare ourselves, to be trained in God's word and meditation, that we're able to lay aside the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. And then most important, the Word of God, it tells us that in spite of, again, along with God's blessings and providing with us a model and pattern and the tools to be able to set aside the weights that beset us, most of all, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, if and this should hit within our, or fall within our laps. If I can't get encouragement from you, if I can't get encouragement by trying to place my mind on the things above, I need to start with placing my mind on what Christ has done for me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it ought to give us encouragement to keep on moving. It ought to give us encouragement to get past our past situations, because Jesus has forgiven our sins. by going upon the cross. You see, the situation with the Christians here in Hebrews 12 and 11, they overlooked the sacrifice that was made for them. And they were willing to say, what Jesus did for me, that was good and all, but I'm struggling right now. I'm being displaced from my home. I'm being killed. I'm being persecuted. And this might not be worth it. But I stop by to tell you today, in spite of what we face, in spite of what we've been through, if we turn our backs on God and we turn our backs on the blessing that Christ has set before us, then our faith will be far worse than anything that we could endure on this earth. And so Paul, he gives encouragement. He says, remember most of all what God did for you in giving you his son Jesus. And he says, when you get down and out and when you think about quitting, think about Jesus upon that cross. Because if Jesus had said, I'm not going to go up on this cross, we would be lost in sin today. And so how is it that we let go of the past and look to the future? We stop making excuses while we can't get past our past. Tonight, the message is yours. I invite you to come if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I know Brother Williams, he's going to extend the invitation. But Christ, he's done so much for each and every one of us. And truly, let us be thankful in spite of the hardships, in spite of the difficult times, because beyond the horizon, God has blessings for each and every one of us. Thank you for your time. The message is yours.
Thank you so much, Brother Monroe, for that powerful lesson this evening. Things that hinder us, we got to get past that. Very, very.